Terrible people doing terrible things. I'm Laura, a psychology and horror addict who really likes to research dark and twisted things and talk about them.
And I'm Amanda, and I'm a licensed psychologist who enjoys studying the worst of humanity. And today we're going to talk about Lady Bathory. So this got me thinking about a subject I did not realize was super controversial, the topic of taking a bath, taking baths versus showers.
People are very particular about, like, how they take baths and stuff. It's actually a pretty, like debated topic.
It's a pretty divisive topic.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was the case, but then I was talking to my husband a little bit about it because I love to take baths.
Mm-hmm.
I like showers because they're easy, they're quick.
Yeah.
But I love soaking in a warm tub.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen him take a bath maybe, like, twice.
Yeah.
In our entire time together, our entire marriage.
I think it's less likely for men to.
And maybe that's the case, but I didn't realize, like, he actually has some pretty strong feelings about it. I was describing, like, this to a friend a couple of years ago, too. He was joking about the fact that it's like I'm sitting in poop water. Like, I'm sitting in my own feces. That's the mental image he gets
from
the bath.
I mean, some people, you know, they call it, like, people stew and stuff like that. But, like, I take a shower after I take a bath.
So I do not. And I didn't know that was a thing that people expect you to do.
Yeah. I just do it because I'll, like, put stuff in my bath water, essential oil or something like that, and, you know, to make it smell nice.
Yeah.
But then when I, like, get out of the bath, I feel oily. So then I want to take a shower. And I usually, like, wash my hair after.
So I use the bath bombs or just some kind of, like, bubble bath substance in there. And I get oily, but I also thought that was just good for your skin to kind of have the oils. And I don't rinse off. Like, I've rinsed off a couple of times now. Like, I did it for a while after realizing, like, he agrees with you. He almost thinks you need to rinse off after you've had a bath. He's like, why am I going to take a bath if I then have to shower right afterwards? And I was like, you don't have to shower right afterwards. You're clean. You are bathing in water. But apparently I've been bathing in my own filth.
You're bathing in dirty water. Like, are you clean when you're going into the bath?
No. I'm dirty. That's why I'm taking a bath.
Then how is the bath making you clean if the water is dirty?
Because I'm putting soap on myself and I'm washing myself in the water.
But what about the water? It's got all the dirt and stuff from your skin.
The water is fine. The water is soapy now. And I am no longer dirty.
Okay. I don't think that's how that works.
I wonder what people... how split people actually are.
I'd like to
see kind of the numbers on how many people actually shower after.
I'm pretty sure I've seen a YouTube video about, like, these, like, debate channels or whatever, where they're
really
like,
okay,
you know, toilet paper over or under.
Well, obviously over.
Shower after bath, yes or no, like those things. Did you say under?
No, I said over. Oh god, no, I'm not a monster.
Oh, okay. I was like, good god, you don't clean yourself after a bath and you put your toilet paper under? We can't be friends anymore.
I'm not a fucking monster, Laura.
We can't. We cannot associate if you put your toilet paper under, okay? That's not the right way, people. It's not the right way.
I don't fart in front of my husband. I don't rinse off after a bath. And now Laura thinks I put my toilet paper under, which is the wrong way to do it if you weren't aware of that.
It is the wrong way. I can't, like, so CJ is the same way that Ward is about taking baths. Now, I shower after bath. But if I didn't, he gets weird about me, like, getting into the sheets of the bed and stuff, because he's like, you're not clean.
I don't know if Ward's just been harboring this, like, disgust for me this entire time and hasn't felt comfortable saying it.
I mean, every good marriage has at least, you know, a modicum of disgust.
He's just laying there at night, just, like, silently fuming to himself. And
I mean, you can't coexist with another human without being grossed out by them. We're disgusting.
We are disgusting creatures. We do disgusting things.
Exactly. So, you know, you just accept the fact that every now and then your husband or wife is going to be a little gross.
Well, and thank God for my disgusting dogs, because I think that they do take some of the attention away from me.
So you're saying if you didn't have pets, like Ward would just be like, I can't do this anymore.
Probably. I've got to keep some kind of stinky little animal around just to make me look better.
You're like, it's his fault.
He never bathes. Licking himself doesn't count. That's not how that works.
You see him licking his balls? His mouth is not clean. He does not brush his teeth.
At least I brush my teeth most of the time.
Oh my God. Well, all right. That's our stance on baths. Yeah. Feel free to comment onto us on Facebook, you know, Instagram, Twitter. Let us know.
Let me know how disgusting I am.
Or let us know, you know, whose side you're on. You're on my side or her side? Because now this is, you know, a war.
I'm just trying to save the water. We don't need to waste all this water.
We do. We do need to waste the water so that you're not funky. Well, speaking of baths.
Yeah, so tell me about Lady Bathory.
Yes, Lady Bathory has nothing to do with baths, but her name does, so get over it. So Countess Elizabeth Bathory de Esid. Now, a lot of these things are Hungarian, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce them that great, so...
Get over it.
suck it up. So Elizabeth Bathory, which from here on out, I'm just going to call her Lady Bathory, because that is one of the formal names that she went by. She was a Hungarian noblewoman who is from family Bathory, and they owned a lot of land in the Kingdom of Hungary.
So wealthy. She had a lot of wealth in her family.
Yes, very, very wealthy. And she was also said to be very beautiful, although, you know, a lot of this was said about her when she was 12, but that was the age back then.
That's not creepy.
Nope, not at all. But she was said to be very beautiful, intelligent, you know, she had a lot of shit going for her, you know, rich. But as a child, Elizabeth actually suffered from seizures, and it may have been caused by epilepsy. You know, they're not 100% sure because obviously we can't like go back and test. And it's likely that inbreeding from her parents was the cause.
Of course,
which,
it was.
I mean, with royalty, if you go back in history and look at a lot of royal families, there's a lot of inbreeding because they thought.
Yeah, you got to preserve those bloodlines.
Exactly. They thought inbreeding kept the bloodline pure, which we know today that that is so not true.
Pretty much just muddles the bloodline and causes a lot of genetic mutations. And
yeah, this is why a lot of royalty died at very young ages, because their bodies just couldn't handle it. So this was diagnosed as falling sickness back then, and treatments included rubbing blood of non-sufferers on the lips of an epileptic, or giving them a mix of non-sufferer blood and a piece of their skull.
Giving them a piece of their skull? Like, did they put it in a locket and carry it around? Or did they eat it?
They mushed it up.
Okay, so they ground it up and they ate it.
Uh-huh. Eat it. A mix of blood and skull from a non-sufferer. Because, you know, that's how you fix diseases.
Drink the blood of these other people.
So, obviously, these practices are going to, you know, these are going to come into the story later. But just know that that's probably kind of weird and traumatic for a child, especially like, you know, she's suffering from seizures and that's scary.
Yeah.
And they don't know, like nobody around you knows how to handle it because it's the 1500s, which, by the way, I think I forgot to mention, she was born in August 1560.
Okay.
So it's speculated that a lot of the horrible crimes that we're going to talk about that she committed were in an effort to cure her illness. So she may have thought that these things, you know, were beneficial. And it's also suspected that her family introduced her to a lot of, like, watching brutal punishments as a child. And some of her family were said to be involved in Satanism and witchcraft, although there's really no evidence to support this.
I wonder if they just tie a lot of this kind of shit back in the past to being the result of Satanism, the result of witchcraft, because they don't understand it.
I mean, it feels like it, yeah.
Or again, does it just speak to the involvement of the church at this time?
Yeah.
And would they paint this negative picture of any family that didn't fit their mold to try to discredit them?
Right. And especially because you didn't want, like, you were trying to get and gain believers.
Yes.
At that time. We have the Crusades and everything like that. Like, everybody's trying to spread their religion. So anything that threatens that, you know, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we got to shut it down.
Yeah, so slander. So, you know, they may have been involved in it. They may not have. They may have done some weird stuff. We're not really sure. But just keep it in mind. At the age of 10, she was engaged to Fernick Nadsdy. Nadsdy. We're just going to call him
Nadsdy.
We're just going to call him Frederick Nasty.
Okay.
And it was most likely a political arrangement as, like I said, you know, most kids were pawns back then for political gain. So a year or two after they were engaged, she was reported to have a child by a lower status lover.
Oh, okay. So outside of her marriage at the age of 13.
Well, she was only engaged at 10.
She wasn't married.
She wasn't married. She was engaged at 10, and then at 12-ish, she had a child.
What a little slut.
Right?
No, I'm just kidding. That's horrible.
It is.
Well, and who knows? I mean, 13.
You're a teenager.
Yeah, you're kind of a teenager. So
and I mean, back then, you know, I mean, you were engaged at 10.
You're literally engaged at the age of 10 years old. Yeah. There's no telling what she may have already been subjected to at that point by men who are much older than she was.
Exactly. So, you know, kind of no surprise there. And it was probably some guy that, you know, she was just fooling around with.
Yeah.
But it was said that Mr. Frederick had him castrated and then torn apart by dogs in anger. So we see that maybe her husband's got a little bit of sadistic traits as well, which he's about 4 years older than her. So I would say this was around when he was
like 17 or 18. Okay.
Yeah. So he had the guy castrated and torn apart by dogs. And the child that she gave birth to was given to a woman who was trusted by her family and taken to Wallachia, which, by the way, is where Vlad the Impaler is from.
Yeah, his hometown.
Just saying. So, Elizabeth and Frederick were then married on May 8th in 1575. She was 14 and he was 19. And there were approximately 4,500 guests.
Who are those people? That's, like, I don't know 100 people. I mean, I guess I do, but they're family.
4,500 guests. I'm guessing that's just, like, the whole fucking kingdom.
Yeah, they just invited everyone. Well, and I guess people just show up. Again, like you said, there's not shit to do.
I mean,
let's go to this royal wedding for a 14-year-old girl. Let's go to this child
wedding.
So
there's probably like people from other kingdoms. Oh, there's probably tons and tons of royalty. I mean, when there's a big to-do, we got to go to the ball. Well, his gift to her was his house, which was Castle of Seget, as well as a country house and 17 adjacent villages. So she had a lot of property at this point. This is his wealth plus her wealth. You know, it's adding up to a lot. And she refused to change her last name as her husband actually had a lower standing than her.
Interesting.
So he assumed the Bathory name. So he is now Frederick Bathory, which I'm sure he was super pleased about considering that I think that was a big deal back then.
It seems like it. It's still a big deal today for a lot of people.
Yeah,
so.
It's true. Now, Frederick was a soldier, so he was away all the time. So she spent most of her time alone, and she would manage the house and his estates and his affairs.
Okay.
And he passed away in 1604, and this is when it's said that Bathory became even worse than she had been before. So her and her husband, obviously castrating guys, having them torn apart by dogs, are not unfamiliar with, like, torture and everything like that.
Sure.
Now, it is rumored that, you know, her husband had participated in her obsession with torture, but yet again, can't really corroborate that, but you know, the whole castrate dog thing makes me think.
We know he at least had a young man castrated and torn asunder.
So it's possible that he is indeed, you know, joining in these affairs. And so Elizabeth was active between 1590 when she was 30 years old and 1610 when she was 50 years old. So she's active for 20 years. This is a lot of time to get stuff done.
She was very productive in those 20 years.
Exactly. So stories often claim that she bathed in the blood of virgins to retain her youth, but those stories came about after her death and were most likely spurred by terrible details of her. So most likely not true, although we do know that she put blood on her lips to cure her epilepsy. So you can see how that might translate.
Yeah, that might have been something where people just, it's almost like, what's the password game or telephone?
Yeah, telephone.
Yeah, it's like
where
the
you
telephone
like,
game.
So-and-so did this, you know. And then it turns into Lady Bathory bathes in the blood of virgins.
Bathed in the blood of her victims, her young victims.
Exactly. And she's often compared to Vlad the Impaler, who we know inspired the fictional Count Dracula, which, of course, is his own interesting person. But maybe we'll cover Vlad, you know, in another episode.
Yeah. He's got his own history of being a madman.
Yes. Unfortunately, many royalty and noblemen were definitely not the greatest.
Okay. wonder, is this like a PSA on the corruption of wealth and power?
Sort of.
Back then, it was all these really sadistic activities, torture, dismemberment. Like, they developed all these really fucked up hobbies because they didn't have, I mean, the accountability is just not there.
Exactly. Like, I mean, you're so rich. You're so untouchable.
Yeah.
Nobody can do anything to you.
And we're seeing some of that today, you
cough,
might
cough.
Argue.
We'll not get into that this episode, because there are certainly terrible people who exist today.
Yep.
So the investigation into Bathory started between 1602 and 1604. The dates aren't exactly known, but it was after word of her atrocities had spread all over the kingdom. So these rumors are going around that this woman is snatching girls up off the street and slitting their throats, bathing in their blood. There's rumors that she's eating some of the girls.
So they think she's cannibalizing as well.
Cannibalism. There's a lot of things that Lady Bathory was apparently interested in.
Well, and is this when the legend becomes bigger than the truth, almost?
Exactly. Before this investigation, she was rumored to have been doing this for years. Now, we're saying, like, from 1590 she was active. So by 1602, we're talking 12 years after this all started to show up and be, like, spread around the kingdom, that there's actually, like, an investigation going into it.
Okay.
So she's had 12 years of, you know, supposedly
doing this unchecked.
Supposedly doing this unchecked. Yes. So they started collecting evidence in March of 1610. Now, that was only after a Lutheran minister, Istvan Magyari. Istvan Magyari. I'm sorry, everybody. It wasn't until he made complaints against her that they actually started to look into it.
Well, of course.
So the investigation started in 1602, but, like, really didn't pick up any authority notice until 1610 when this Lutheran minister made a complaint. This is when King Matthias II assigned Thurzo, the Palatine of Hungary, to investigate. So they started collecting evidence.
So the Lutheran minister got involved, and then the king was like, yeah, I guess I should check this out.
Exactly. Other complaints had been made by other noble people and had been spread around the kingdom by the peasants and servants and everything. But it wasn't until Lutheran minister Istvan heard about it and complained that it became important to actually do something about it.
Okay.
So when they started investigating by 1611, so they started in March 1610, by 1611, they had over 300 witness statements. Now, that's a lot of witnesses.
So 300 people had come forward claiming she had committed these crimes?
Correct. Now, here's where we get into a little bit of a problem. And we'll tell you about this a little bit more in a minute, but, you know, all of these witnesses may not have been credible. None of this evidence would be substantial in court today. But, you know, it was the 1600s. So it was said that her initial victims were servant girls between ages 10 to 14.
Okay.
And they were lured to the castle of Sigit with offers of well-paid maid possessions.
So she was taking advantage of girls that needed money, needed a place to sleep, needed food to eat.
Exactly. So she's luring in peasant women to come and work at the castle, basically. And, you know, it was offering, like, really good pay. So obviously you're going to go because back then it was important. You know, she may have had an entire family she had to support. So they would come, and it was later said that she began killing the daughters of lesser gentry who sent their daughters to learn courtly etiquette. So she went from servant girls to noble children.
Oh, so she's moving up the ranks a bit with her victims.
Right. So parents are sending their kids to her castle to learn about court etiquette, and she's killing them. And how nobody noticed or decided to, like, do any, because people have obviously noticed, but, like, nobody has done anything to this point. So no parents.
Well, and especially if the parents are of noblemen and gentry, you know, if those are the parents now.
Yes, but they're lesser. But they're lesser than her.
And so you just can't question someone in her of her status.
Exactly. So she's not killing noble children who are above her status, just the ones below her, which makes it even harder to do anything about back then. So, and she was accused of, like, a lot of forms of torture. So we're talking, like, severe beatings, mutilation of hands, biting flesh off of faces.
Oh, she's a face eater.
She is a face biter.
Face biter.
Yeah, she's a face biter. burning them with hot tongs and then placing them in freezing water. And she was even said to have covered a couple of her victims in honey and left them outside tied down for live ants to feast on.
That would be a horrible death.
Extremely, extremely slow.
I can't even imagine.
And she was obviously, you know, a really, really sick individual. And she was also suspected of cannibalism, which I feel like biting flesh off of your face. I mean, even if you don't eat it, counts as cannibalism to me.
Yeah. You had the human flesh in your mouth.
That was separate from someone's body. Like, you're a cannibal.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're one tiny little push away from taking that next step. So.
Exactly.
Well, and can we just appreciate the creativity?
Honey and live ants. Honey and live ants.
Where did she come up with that?
I don't know.
Did she spill honey one day? And, you know, she was making her tea and she spilled some honey outside on her terrace and she noticed these ants.
And she was like, oh. She was like, what a great way for me to kill somebody. I wonder how long it would take. I don't know. And I'm not really sure if she, like, just set her outside to die or, like, sat and watched.
Oh, I'm sure she watched.
Probably checked on her over the course of multiple days, because this would have taken days to die.
She would have had to have come out and checked on her just to see the results of it, I would think, if she took the time to torture, took the pleasure in it that she seemed to.
Right. And, you know, in the beginning of this, we, you know, it's speculated that she did all these things to cure her illness or to maintain her youth. I don't know how having somebody covered in honey and being eaten by live ants is a way to maintain your youth. I could see the translation of drinking blood.
Sure.
Because obviously blood gives humans life. I see the, like, the jump of from logic there.
Yeah, but nothing else she's doing. The beatings, the mutilation, the biting flesh off of people.
Those are all for her enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not curing anything.
I don't see how she's going to logic her way into, this is going to help me live a long, healthy life and cure my epilepsy.
Right. Not really sure how that works. So obviously she was just sick. She liked watching people in pain. So witnesses report like knowing people who died in the care of Lady Bathory or seeing traces of torture on dead bodies. And these are a lot of the witness statements. And some court officials actually reported witnessing Bathory torturing and killing young servants. However, those accounts came out 6 months after she was arrested.
So these people with the courts are now claiming they witnessed it.
But didn't do anything about it.
Okay. Again, how did so many people supposedly see this activity?
I feel like back then you could literally just be like, yeah, I was there. I was like, how were you there? And you were like, I was looking through the window. Like, I don't think there's no proof required.
I can't imagine thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to show up to this trial and claim that I saw this shit happening.
Yeah, just for shits and giggles. I want to see what happens. So that's basically kind of what it seems like. I mean, 6 months after her arrest, like, why are you reporting your statement now? So on December 30th, she was arrested along with four of her servants who were accused as accomplices. And the four servants were three women and one man. They were all arrested, questioned, and tortured, you know. Ironically,
torture seemed to be this pastime of the courts as well. They seem to really enjoy torture.
Exactly. So it's not like Bathory got this idea from nowhere.
Yeah, this isn't a novel concept at this point.
Torture was a theme. So she was a sick person, but she got these ideas and this like from culture. It was believed that she was arrested in the act of torturing a young girl. And Thurzo, the person that King Matthias II sent to investigate, actually claimed that he found her covered in blood when he went to arrest her. But actually, she was just eating dinner.
She was just eating a really rare steak dinner and, you know, happened to have a lot of blood on her face. But
yeah, she was just literally eating dinner. And I guess he just wanted to seem super cool. So he was like, ugh, cut her. Literally red handed.
It's almost like the precursor to planting evidence.
Kind of.
That they're fabricating what happened. They're lying about the events that took place. And I just happened upon this guy who was conveniently in the middle of murdering someone. And that's how I know he's guilty.
Right. And like these days, you know, you gotta at least have some proof, some receipts, you know, that show that you were somewhere back in this day. I mean, how the hell would you have known?
Yeah. You gotta at least plant the evidence. You gotta
make it,
fake it. You gotta plant cocaine on somebody and the bloody knife.
Not back then. You could be like, I saw her. So off with her head. So when deciding how to go about like Bathory's punishment, it was decided that trial and execution would have caused a scandal.
A scandal?
Mm-hmm.
How did they define scandal back? A scandal for who? For
her family.
Okay.
Yep. So it would have caused a scandal because of who she was, and it would have put shame on the family.
God forbid the family experiences some possibly well-deserved shame.
And also, it would have caused a scandal, and her properties would have been seized by the crown. So, Thurzo planned to have her taken away to a nunnery, which is seems like a great place for someone who, like, murders little girls. But as the accounts of her murder of the daughters of lesser nobility spread, it was decided that she would be just kept under house arrest at Castle Segeste.
Wow.
And that further punishment should be avoided.
Yeah. I'm going to murder a bunch of people. Yep. And because I'm so important, I am going to evade any kind of real punishment. And I just have to stay at home.
Correct. You just have to stay at home. That's all. But so they decided to keep her under house arrest. But the two of the female servants and one male servant who were arrested alongside her were executed.
Well, of course they were.
And the fourth woman was spared immediate execution, although it's not sure what happened to her after that.
She was probably just tortured to death.
Yeah, or they just killed her anyway. You know, or she just sat in a jail cell and died.
She's the one that had to go to the nunnery. They still got to fill these convents up with somebody, so they sent her.
Yeah. They need nuns. Send us your convicts.
That would explain some of the Mother Teresa shit.
But... Right. It's like, oh.
You enjoy seeing people suffer? Oh. We know exactly where.
Well, I got the charity for you. So on January 25th of 1611, which is 26 days after she was arrested, Thurzo sent King Matthias word detailing the capture and house arrest of Bathory. And she was confined to the Segeste for the rest of her life, where she died at the age of 54.
So she had like 10 years, maybe?
Not even. It's actually 3. She was on house arrest for 3 years before she died.
3 years of house arrest. Mm-hmm. That was her punishment, ultimately. Yep.
And so she died at 54, and then Thurzo stated that she was locked in a brick room, but according to some other written documents from priests who visited, she was allowed to move freely through the castle. So not even confined to like a room or the dungeon, because you know the castle has a dungeon.
She's basically living out her life.
As she would have. Correct.
No matter what. Because who knows how much she even left. If you live in a fucking castle, I'm probably going to be at the castle a lot. And she's got people waiting on her hand and foot, cooking her meals.
Oh, yeah. Still has guards, servants, all of it.
Helping her even take a fucking bath.
Yep. Get dressed.
So nothing. I feel like just nothing happened for her.
Basically. Basically.
I don't even count house arrest.
Exactly. You really can't, especially once we get to the body count. But she willed all of her assets away to her children, including estates, lands, possessions. And on August 20th in 1614, she complained to the guard of cold hands. She was told to just go lie down, and she was found dead in the morning. So she died in her sleep, too. She didn't even have a heart attack or anything. She just died peacefully.
She didn't even have just like a fucking seizure that killed her.
Massive aneurysm or anything. Nope. Mm-mm. Karma's not real, guys. Karma is not real.
Karma's a bitch. A lazy, lazy bitch.
So she spent a grand total of 3 years under house arrest after a good 20 years of being an active serial killer. And she was buried in the church of the Segeste.
So she got to be buried on church grounds, too.
Well, yes, on the 25th of November, which, by the way, she died in August.
Gross.
So, yeah.
Did they have some kind of wake? Like, were they waiting for her to wake back up or something?
I'm not sure. That's a long time to hold onto a dead body before you bury it.
That's 2 fucking months. That's disgusting. October. Hold on. August, September, October. That's 3 months.
Yeah. And they didn't have like embalming fluid and stuff. So I'm not really sure. I guess she was just gross.
I still can't get over how much it had to have stunk back then.
If you could do a scratch and sniff.
Like, I'm very sensitive with my sense of smell.
I'm not. And I feel like it would still make me puke.
I am. And it's awful. Everything, and it's not always good. Not the good stuff.
No, it's really not. So she was buried on church property, but apparently it upset a lot of the villagers, naturally. So her body was moved to her birth home in Ised. Now the location of her body is unknown.
Okay.
Which is probably a good thing. God only knows. Let's not make her any more famous. So any guess to how many young women she killed in her 20-year active period?
Man, now that I know about, like, DeRay and his body count, maybe, like, we'll say 100, kind of middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Not even close. It is theorized that she killed over 600 young women.
Where the fuck did she get these people from?
She, I'm telling you, she would snatch, like, little servants. She obviously wouldn't. She would have her guards snatch little girls from the village. That's why the villagers didn't fucking want her body there, because they're like, fuck this bitch.
How did we not die out? Like, people must have been procreating like fucking rabbits back then.
I mean, what else did you have to do? Yet again, we go back to boredom. What do you do when you're bored? Apparently, you torture people.
You have sex and you torture.
Yeah, and you have sex. Sex and torture, guys.
You go lie on the witness stand about seeing other people torture people.
So you can feel important. But yeah, and this actually earned her the spot in the Guinness World Book of Records for the most prolific female murderer in history.
Look at her. Look at her achieving greatness.
Such an achievement. Such an achievement. Now, some authors have argued that Bathory was the victim of conspiracy. It was argued that proceedings against Bathory were largely politically motivated.
Man, which, yeah.
Very possible. And this could have been due to her extensive wealth and ownership of large areas of land in Hungary. After all, it's not that uncommon of a practice back then for people to accuse women of atrocities to gain their land.
Okay, yeah. You know,
cough, cough. The Salem witch trials.
Salem witch trials.
You know, so we just say whatever we want and the land is ours. And a lot of the evidence against Bathory was circumstantial. I mean, about 250 of the 300 witnesses offered either hearsay or no information. And a lot of them were on Thurzo's side.
I'm imagining, like, what these people said when they got up there, if they were saying things like,
oh, yeah, for sure, that's all that about it. Well,
I mean, you know, she could have killed these people. It's possible that it happened.
Sure is a lot of kids missing in this town. Must be Lady Bathory. Yeah. Why do I sound...
I haven't seen my 10 daughters in the past, you know, couple of days. And they're, ma'am, they're standing right behind you. Ma'am. Ma'am, who are these kids? I've never seen them in my life.
God damn it, I thought I drowned them in the river.
I must have crawled out of the potato sacks I put them in.
Fuck, got to try again. Also, the fact that her accomplices were tortured for confessions kind of makes that unreliable as well.
Well, you think?
So, everybody was fucking tortured. I mean, there were the rumors throughout the entire kingdom. But I feel like back then, rumors could have been spread pretty easy.
Well, in torture, again, like the types of confessions we get through torture. So my husband could just tickle me, and I'm probably going to tell him whatever he wants to hear. Because to me, that's torture.
Oh, you have no idea. I can't imagine I would be the worst, like, actually, I'd probably be the best torture subject because I would tell you anything that you wanted.
Yeah.
Under, like, you could, like, literally press a scalpel to my skin and I'd be like, I'll tell you what you want to know. So it's not really fair to say, like, oh, yeah, they confessed. And that's the same thing that happened with the Salem witch trials. I mean, it happens all the fucking time. Where, you know, somebody just says something and we take that as fact.
Yeah, we concoct these stories, whether it's for some kind of monetary gain or political gain, or we're just fucking bored and feeling vindictive.
Right. But it's also possible, with how common the practice of torture was and the fact that they tortured the torturers, I could see how Bathory could have been getting away with literal child murder.
Yeah. So, well, again, they're not going around checking up on where all these fucking little orphan kids are.
Right. Nobody cares. Nobody cares to look. So how would you know? And that's how I feel about true crime and why, you know, I really love true crime podcasts and things like that, because it calls attention to some old mysteries and old cases that really do deserve to be looked into.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times shit just gets looked over.
It does.
Even today.
We don't take everything into account, and lots of pretty significant evidence or coincidences seem to be missed.
Yeah. It's a lot. So that's Lady Bathory, everybody. The countess who bathed in blood, supposedly. We'll never know.
Yeah. Well, did she rinse off after those baths, though? Did she take a shower?
You know, do you, if you want the healing and rejuvenative processes?
Or was she covered in the blood of her victims and her own feces?
Just like you.
Just like me.
Amanda, what are you bathing? The blood of my victims.
And my own poop, you know.
And my own poop.
And my poop water.
It adds a little flavor.
According to my husband.
I did have a recent story I wanted to tell you about.
Oh, yeah.
About some star-crossed lovers in prison. So one of the UK's most notorious killers has found love behind bars with another murderer.
I mean, they're pretty well matched.
Right. Joanna Dennehy, 37, was arrested for the thrill killings of three men, while her new girlfriend behind bars, Emma Aitken, 25, was arrested with her dad and her boyfriend for murdering a traveler whose body was found battered and burned and was outside of a social club. I don't really know what social club means. But I feel like you're kind of an asshole. Like a burnt body. You left it just outside of a social club.
A social club.
Not even in a ditch.
Like the YMCA? The community like YMCA or something?
Right. This is why you're fucking arrested. What is it? Like the 4-H club or whatever? Like
it's Girl Scouts.
It's the Girl Scouts.
Of course.
She's like, fuck those Girl Scouts. I was a Girl Scout. They didn't give me my badge.
They ran out of my favorite goddamn tag-along cookies. Now I gotta murder someone.
So both of them are being held at Low Newton Prison in Durham. And she's actually, Dennehy is one of the only two British women serving a life sentence without the chance of parole. Her girlfriend is on a 12-year minimum sentence for her crime. And the jailhouse actually told the newspaper that they gave each other embroidered cushions. So their pillows have their names stitched on them. That's what they gave each other for a gift. And the jail's been on lockdown, obviously, since, you know, the pandemic.
Okay.
But they still get to go and spend time with each other because everyone is afraid of Dennehy because she killed three dudes. And they make cheesecake and trifles while other people are locked away in their cells.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't. Who's eating that?
Exactly. And the crimes that she committed was actually like a 2-month rampage where she stabbed three guys to death and dumped their bodies in ditches. So at least she threw her bodies in ditches.
Oh my god.
Her girlfriend did it though.
Wow.
Oh, also, and she had an accomplice whose name was Gary Stretch. And would you like to guess how tall Gary Stretch is?
5'2".
7'11", or 7'3", not 11.
Man, I was hoping it was like an ironic name or something.
No, he's freaking huge. He's freaking huge. And he helped her stab two dog walkers while she was on a run.
Oh, wow.
But both of the men survived. So she hates men.
It seems that way.
And now she found her soulmate in jail.
Another murderer.
Another female murderer. Everyone is crazy.
Everyone has lost their damn minds.
Exactly. Well, that's our episode for today. You guys, please check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Give us a like. Let us know what you want to hear. If there's any stories you want us to cover. And
we will see you next time. Bye.